Lucis Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations, and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Welcome. Inner sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have, within you, the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way, with new eyes. So, stay with us, and together, we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic for today, the seven centers. And before we explore this topic, I'd like to say a few words about Alice Bailey. Alice Bailey is the founder of the Lucis Trust, and Lucis Trust sponsors this show. Alice Bailey also wrote 24 books of esoteric philosophy, and those 24 books are the main inspiration for the dialogue that you hear on this show. The following thought is also from the works of Alice Bailey. The etheric body is composed entirely of lines of force and points where these lines of force cross each other and thus form centers of energy. Where many such lines of force cross each other, you have a larger center of energy, and where great streams of energy meet and cross, you have seven major centers. This is such a complex subject. How do these centers relate to the etheric body, which we talked about last time? Maybe also a comment on, for those people who are new, of what the etheric body is.
Yes, I think perhaps a little bit of recapping might set the stage for a discussion of the seven centers. The etheric body, as we've been discussing, is an aspect of the physical body, not only of a human being, but of any form, any nation, any solar system. All living beings have a physical body and its subjective or subtle counterpart, which is an underlying, invisible, intangible, and yet conditioning energy counterpart. And what's so fascinating is that the etheric body is an aspect of the physical, and at the same time far more important than the physical body, because it's the conditioning factor. The physical body is just the outer manifestation of conditions and causes that have been put into expression on the subjective level of the etheric vehicle. Is that sufficiently confusing?
Well, probably so, but we'll try to clarify. Clear it up here.
Yeah.
yes, the etheric body is like a mold. I think we mentioned this before. It's like the mold on which the physical body is formed and takes
mm-hmm.
shape.
Mm-hmm.
And
an archetype.
Right. Mm-hmm. And we don't, it's hard to see this etheric body because it's an exact duplicate of the physical, and it interpenetrates and extends out beyond the physical body a few inches, depending on the advancement of the person. But those who have certain clairvoyant vision can see this etheric emanation. But the etheric body is also, as it's described, as a receiver, and it's a transmitter. It essentially receives the energies coming from outside the body. It comes from energies coming from the other inner planes, the astral plane or the mental plane or the soul. And it distributes these energies throughout the whole physical mechanism. And it gives it life and vitality to the physical form. So it's an extremely important body to try to understand, and it's a whole new science that medicine in particular should begin to look at and study, because so much of our health depends on the condition of the physical, of the etheric body.
I think medicine is becoming more aware of the etheric body, because there are people who have made experiments and inroads in therapeutic touch. A nurse named Doris Krieger, who was a nurse practitioner, I don't know if she's still working or if she's retired, but a nurse practitioner, as our audience probably knows, is highly trained in science, and at the same time she developed an experimental approach to therapeutic touch, which relies on draws upon an awareness that there is this subjective, subtle counterpart to the physical body. And her experimentation with therapeutic touch doesn't even involve touching the physical body. Her work is done slightly apart from the physical body of the patient, which is quite fascinating. And there's the cardiovascular surgeon Mehmet Oz at Columbia Presbyterian, who's been very interested in the some of the more experimental applications of healing, and has expressed an interest, as I understand it, in this kind of subtle healing process. I don't know whether he would call it this subjective counterpart, the etheric body. He might have another name for it. But my understanding from what I have heard him discuss is that he is developing an expanded understanding of that potential for healing through this subjective counterpart. So it's not just flaky New Age stuff.
No, it's a science that's been around for centuries, actually, mm-hmm. and, you know, in the Eastern teachings. And so now it's just recently, in the past 100 years or so, it's begun to come to the West, and we're beginning to investigate it, and there are people out there who are doing scientific research on the etheric body. And so I think it's just a matter of time until it becomes more widely known and accepted.
And we're not saying, well, just pay no attention to the physical body and its illnesses and ailments and treatments. We're not saying that at all. But that there is this counterpart which needs to be included in the equation, wouldn't you say?
Right, and the etheric body is just not, as you said in the beginning, it's not unique to a human being. It's every form in the world. The planet itself has an etheric counterpart. The solar system.
I wonder if it's related to the ozone layer.
I don't know.
There's a hole in the ozone that's causing a lot of
maybe
problems.
Maybe there's a hole in the Earth's etheric body. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
And it's
I mean, I think it's a legitimate question. It's just not one we can answer.
And, no, so, I mean, it's what relates us, really, to everything else. It's and it is the basis for unity, this etheric network that underlies our physical form, is the basis for our unified relationship with the planet as a whole, with everybody else in the world who also has an etheric body, and we are all existing and traveling around in this great sea of etheric energy. And it's the sooner we realize that, the easier it will be to begin to understand how we're all related under at this more subtle level.
It's a joyful realization to think about the fact that we are interrelated. It also evokes a sense of responsibility, or should, responsibility for what each of us puts into the subjective atmosphere, in the sense of our thoughts, our emotions, our actions. And a realization that we are not alone, that we are living as a planet, as a human family, but larger than that, as a planetary life. And this is what the science of ecology is demonstrating so vividly, that all systems, all kingdoms are interrelated and make impacts on each other. And we absolutely must come to a realization of this interrelationship, and particularly of humanity's responsibility, because we're the X factor. We have enough of a mind to do some damage and also to do some good. And the mistaken sense that we are living as isolated units, each of us, sort of like little satellites wandering around the universe, not really interfering with each other at all, is not true. When we study the etheric body, we realize that each of us is part of a greater life. But we're not all equal in our experience of that life or in what we contribute to it. Alice Bailey said that the etheric body is primarily composed of the dominant energy or energies to which the person, the group, the nation, or the world reacts to at any particular time or any particular world period. So that suggests that each individual, each nation, each group responds differently depending on the composition of the etheric body, how conscious it is?
Well, it depends on also the point of focus of their consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And because that kind of determines what the quality of the energy will be flowing through the body at any particular time. Because the body, the etheric body is constantly changing, because the energies that are flowing through us are constantly flowing and changing. So it depends on the state of our consciousness and where we are focused, whether we're focused in the emotional body, in the emotional nature. Do we walk around in a state of high emotion all the time, or is that emotional nature under control and the mind is more in control? And because where this our consciousness is focused, that's the type of energy that will be flowing through the etheric body, and that's mm-hmm. what will affect the health and the well-being of the physical body.
Yes, these variations have to do with the state of awakeness or lack of awakeness in the seven centers and in the nervous system and the tiny lines of force that can conduct etheric energy through what are called the nadis. All of these vary with the individual's state of consciousness, and this is what we wanted to focus in more detail on today, because every human being is composed of seven centers, but not every human being has awakened all seven centers. In fact, most human beings aren't functioning through seven awakened centers, and some of them are functioning through only one or two that are actually functioning on quite a low grade level. So that helps us understand why there are differences among us, even though each of us has this same etheric physical potential.
For those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight. Our topic for today, the seven centers. Well, we have a gift for you. It's absolutely free, no shipping charge. It's available from Lucis Trust. It's the Lucis Trust gift to you. It's a free paper, and it's the paper has a lot more to do with today's topic, the seven centers. And the title of the paper is The Etheric Body and the Seven Centers. What you need to do in order to get this gift is to give us a call. Call Lucis Trust at 1-866-695-8247. That's 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember it is 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NY-LUCIS. LUCIS is LUCIS. And once again, what you need to do is write down the title for us when you send when you request. Well, actually, you're calling in, so just give us a call, request it, and we'll send it out to you. It's the etheric body. Ask for the etheric body and the seven centers. Once again, it's 1-866-695-8247. All of our Inner Sight programs can be heard on our website at www.lucistrust.org. On the homepage, you'll find the link to today's program, which will be available for hearing in a day or two. Last week's program is already available, and many of our past programs can also be heard. Once again, www.lucistrust.org. The theme of each week's program is posted in advance on our website so that you can see in advance what next Sunday's program will be. And by the way, we need your help. All donations are tax deductible, and those donations really help us a lot because it enables us to continue doing these radio shows that so many people have expressed an interest in, and we have listeners all over the world to this show, by the way, and a lot of people seem to like it. So if you enjoy the show, and we enjoy doing it, just send us donations to Lucis Trust. Check or money order is fine. Lucis Trust, Lucis, L-U-C-I-S, Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. Sarah Dale, tell me, though, you were talking about the glands, and what I gathered from what you were saying is that the glands are somehow related to the chakra centers. Can you say a little bit more about that?
Well, I'm no expert on this subject, but I'll try. I'm drawing from the book by Alice Bailey called Esoteric Healing, and it said that every human being is composed of seven centers which run along the spinal column but are not physically anchored in the spinal column. The etheric body stands slightly apart from the physical body as we know it. As Dale said earlier, it's molded along the form of the physical, but it extends beyond it. And it's important to understand that distance between the etheric and the physical, because people can tend to do themselves some harm if they try to draw energy directly into the spinal column or any spot along it. That's not a good idea. Don't visualize the centers. Don't try to charge them up. Don't try to activate them. The centers unfold as consciousness expands.
Oh, so they evolve as our conscious evolves closer to divinity. Then.
Okay, yes, don't try to expand and open and energize your centers just because you think that will propel you along the path. They happen, their awakening and unfoldment happens naturally in response to consciousness. But there are glands located along and in the vicinity of each of the seven centers that have to do with the awakening of consciousness.
Yes, and we might just briefly go through those seven centers. And first of all, there's the pineal gland, which is located in the head, in the brain, and that is the main center for the head center, the main location. And these glands are as kind of the anchorage point for the energies that flow into the centers.
As I understand it, the pineal or pineal gland is not very active at the present time. Is that right?
I believe they don't understand the function of it perhaps so much, because perhaps it has to do with the awakening of the soul factor.
And we don't understand very much about the head center either, spiritually.
Right. Mm-hmm. And the head center is right at the top of the head. It's the thousand-petaled lotus, as it's sometimes called. And then there is also a center related to the pituitary body, which is another center or another gland that is kind of summarizes or kind of synthesizes the whole of the personality nature. So that's also located in the head.
Between the eyebrows.
Right.
Roughly and, between the eyebrows.
That's sometimes called the Ajna center. And then further down there is the throat center, which is related to the thyroid gland. And then, of course, the heart center that is related to the thymus gland. And
solar plexus.
And the solar plexus, that's the big center that's probably wide active today, because it's the kind of center that receives a lot of energy, and it's probably wide open in most people today, because it's the center in the middle of the torso, just below the
diaphragm.
Yes, mm-hmm. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And that's related to the pancreas as the gland,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then the sacral center is further down. That's related to the gonads.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, the center at the base of the spine, which is related to the adrenal glands. And that's the fight or flight kind of gland that secretes the power and the energy that one suddenly needs for battle.
It's interesting to study and learn more about these centers, because the whole system that conducts life force into the human individual enters through these seven centers and is distributed throughout the body by the system of nadis, which are the counterpart of the nervous system. And the awakening of these centers, as I said, has to happen in response to the expansion of consciousness and not by any artificial stimulation of them. Consciousness is the factor that causes the awakening of the centers. And there's an interesting aspect to the organization of these seven centers. Two are in the head, as you said, and then five are in the torso. And the two are divided from the five by the neck, which is kind of a symbolic image for the bridge in consciousness called the Antahkarana. In other words, the energy passing up from the torso into the head happens via the expansion of consciousness, which occurs over the lighted rainbow bridge called the Antahkarana, the bridge in consciousness, which is awakened through meditation and service. So nature has a very clear depiction of the gap via the neck that we have to bridge to awaken as full spiritual beings. And then within the torso, the five centers are divided also.
Yes, and the solar plexus center is kind of it's called the clearinghouse, the major clearinghouse, because it synthesizes all the energies of the lower centers down the solar plexus and the sacral center and center at the base of the spine. Those energies are, if evolution proceeds correctly, those energies are raised up into the solar plexus, and then finally the heart center becomes the attractive center for all the energies flowing through the solar plexus. So there is a rising of, as the evolutionary unfoldment proceeds, there is a raising of all of these energies from the lowest all the way up to the highest.
And as I understand it, the diaphragm is another point of, not a point of departure, a kind of a division, a divider that has to be surpassed to move the energies from the solar plexus into the higher centers. And I think that's where so much of humanity struggles now, with the solar plexus, which is extremely overstimulated at the present time, in the case of a lot of people, full of emotion, full of desire, full of wanting and yearning and anxiety and fear. And all of it has to be transformed into a pure kind of love, which occurs in the heart center. So this dividing line of the diaphragm is a major hurdle in the progression of the individual along the spiritual path.
Yes, and as you mentioned, everybody seems to be struggling today, and that's exactly right. A lot of our illnesses are related to this charge of energy that's flowing through the wide-open solar plexus center, and it leads to all kinds of trouble in the stomach and in the pancreas and in the liver. and all of the organs, and yes, in the digestive system, and all of the organs in that area of the body are affected by this overstimulated center, the chakra.
And I don't think it's exaggerating to say that this is a time of tremendous overstimulation for our planet. We're at a point of the transition from an old age into a new ray energy. The seventh ray is coming in, an old ray energy pattern. The sixth ray is passing out. Humanity's consciousness has expanded tremendously in the past 100 years or so. It's a tremendously exciting but highly overstimulating period that we're all living through. So people are under a lot of stress. But I think we have to look at the stress as an indication that basically we're ready for it.
And the stress that we have created ourselves,
mm-hmm.
the desire nature, as you mentioned earlier, which is has the seat in the solar plexus, is causing so much of the stress, and we just are driven, we drive ourselves needlessly, and this is what's causing so much of the stress. And it has the effect of stressing the whole etheric body.
And I think the more we can understand the nature of our, what is called the constitution of the human being, the way we are composed, the way we relate to the larger whole, the more we can understand how to help ourselves and how to help others. So this discussion of the seven centers is meant to be quite helpful and not just a lot of knowledge that people file away in some corner of their brain. Next time, maybe we can go into more detail on each of the seven centers and how they express. But this, at least, is an introduction to it. And probably each of our listeners will recognize themselves as at a certain point in the awakening of their centers and with an indication of what steps lie ahead for them to take.
Please take advantage of the offer that Lucis Trust is making. It's actually a gift from Lucis Trust, and the gift is a free paper. The title of the paper, The Etheric Body and the Seven Centers. So give Lucis Trust a call and ask for The Etheric Body and the Seven Centers. So if you've been interested in today's topic, here's a chance to explore it further. And believe me, there won't be any phone calls to you or anything else. It'll be an absolutely no-strings-attached gift. It'll give you a chance to look at it in greater depth. So give us a call and order The Etheric Body and the Seven Centers, 1-866-695-8247. That's 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember it is 1-866-NY-LUCIS, Lucis, L-U-C-I-S. Think of 1-866-NY-LUCIS. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called The Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.